Today, we are finishing up the book of Judges. And it has been a wild ride. It is an interesting ending to this book. You cannot call it a happy ending. But what it is, it's really showing how needful the people were for something different, for someone to hold them accountable. Turn with me to Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 17 and 18 were bad enough, because there we had the idolatry of Micah and his household that then turned into the idolatry of the Danites who came through. So the city of Laish, which became the city of Dan, became a center for idolatrous worship. But the whole mess just explodes in these next three chapters. Judges 19, verse 1. Now it came about in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim, who took a concubine for himself from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him, and she went away from him to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah, and was there for a period of 4 months. Right, so this is once again, what's wrong with this picture? Well, pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. The man had a concubine who was unfaithful, and she went back to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah. So why in the world did he have a concubine instead of a wife? And it just gets worse from there. Verse 3, then her husband arose and went after her to speak tenderly to her in order to bring her back, taking with him his servant and a pair of donkeys. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the girl's father saw him, he was glad to meet him. So we're not sure why the next section happens, but it did. His father-in-law, the girl's father, detained him, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Now on the fourth day they got up early in the morning, and he prepared to go. And the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Sustain yourself with a piece of bread, and afterward you may go." So both of them sat down and ate and drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Please be willing to spend the night and let your heart be merry." Then the man arose to go, but his father-in-law urged him so that he spent the night there again. On the fifth day he rose to go early in the morning, and the girl's father said, "Please sustain yourself and wait until afternoon." So both of them ate. When the man arose to go along with his concubine and servant, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold now, the day is drawn to a close. Please spend the night. Lo, the day is coming to an end. Spend the night here so that your heart may be merry. Then tomorrow you may arise early for your journey so that you may go home." But the man was not willing to spend the night, so he arose and departed and came to a place opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. And there were with him a pair of saddled donkeys. His concubine also were with him. Okay, so the father-in-law, or the girl's father, sort of a father-in-law, kind of, but not really, since this woman was not really his wife, was detained him with this party every day. This man had enough. And rather than leaving in the morning, which was prudent, he left at the end of the day. And he wasn't going to make it home before dark. Now that was a problem in that area of the world. You didn't want to be on the road at night. All sorts of unsavory things happened on the road at night. You could get robbed. You could get attacked by wild animals. All sorts of things could happen. So you generally didn't want to be on the road at night. Verse 11, when they were near Jebus, the day was almost gone, and the servant said to his master, "Please come and let us turn aside into the city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." However, his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners, who are not of the sons of Israel, but would go on as far as Gibeah, said to his servant, "Come on and let us approach one of these places, and we'll spend the night in Gibeah or Ramah." So they passed along and went their way, and the sun set on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. Okay, so they were heading between Judah and Ephraim, which is where he was from. He was an Ephraimite, hill country of Ephraim. So it wasn't that far, but it was far enough. So they passed along and went their way, and the sun set on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there in order to enter and lodge in Gibeah. When they entered, they sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. Then behold, an old man was coming out of the field from his work at evening. Now the man was from the hill country of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. So this man was also from the hill country of Ephraim. They had some common ground. He lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the open square of the city, and the old man said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" He said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem in Judah to the remote part of the hill country of Ephraim, for I am from there, and I went to Bethlehem in Judah. I am now going to my house, and no man will take me into his house. Yet there is both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and also bread and wine for me, your maidservant, and the young man who is with your servants. There is no lack of anything." The old man said, "Peace to you, only let me take care of all your needs. However, do not spend the night in the open square." The old man knew that that was not a good place to be. So he took him into his house and gave the donkeys fodder, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. While they were celebrating, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows, surrounded the house, pounding the door, and they spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may have relations with him." So this is sounding very similar to another episode in Scripture, to Sodom, where we had Lot entertaining two angels, but there are no angels here in this section. And then the man, the owner of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my fellows, please do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not commit this act of folly. Here's my virgin daughter and his concubine. Please let me bring them out, that you may ravish them and do to them whatever you wish, but do not commit such an act of folly against this man." But the man would not listen to him. This man seized his concubine and brought her out to them, and they raped her and abused her all night until morning, then let her go at the approach of dawn. As the day began to dawn, the woman came and fell down at the doorway of the man's house where her master was until full daylight. When her master rose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went on out to go on his way, then behold, his concubine was lying at the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. So he just gave her to these men, and he went to bed. And then the morning he woke up, didn't seem to be all that concerned about her, and he said, "Oh well, time to go on my way." And she's lying there on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up and let us go," like nothing had happened. But there was no answer. Then he placed her on the donkey, and the man rose and went to his home. At that point, he knew she was dead. Verse 29. When he entered his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and cut her in 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel, one to each tribe. Imagine that, getting a package, a piece of a body. All who saw it said, "Nothing like this has ever happened or been seen from the day when the sons of Israel came up from the land of Egypt to this day. Consider it, take counsel, and speak up." Chapter 20. Then all the sons of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead, came out, and the congregation assembled as one man to the Lord at Mizpah. They said, "We got to do something about this. This is awful." The chiefs of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, took their stand at the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the sons of Benjamin heard that the sons of Israel had gone out to Mizpah. The sons of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wickedness take place?" So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came with my concubine to spend the night at Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. The men of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me. Instead, they ravished my concubine so that she died. I took hold of my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout the land of Israel's inheritance. They have committed a lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Behold, all you sons of Israel, give your advice and counsel here." And all the people rose as one man, saying, "Not one of us will go to his tent, nor will any of us return to his house. But now this is the thing we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. And we will take 10 men out of 100 throughout the tribes of Israel, and 100 out of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to supply food for the people, that when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, they may punish them for all the disgraceful acts that they have committed in Israel." Thus all the men of Israel will gather against the city, united as one man. Then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout the entire tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has taken place among you? Benjamin should have dealt with this long before now." Verse 13, "Now then, deliver up the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove this wickedness from Israel." But the sons of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the sons of Israel. Sons of Benjamin gathered from the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the sons of Israel. They wouldn't let the armies of the other tribes into their territory. In the cities on that day, the sons of Benjamin were numbered 26,000 men who drew the draw the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah who were numbered 700 choice men. Out of all these people, 700 choice men are left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Men of Israel besides Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men who draw the sword. All these are men of war. See, now it's getting serious. Now it's not just one man out of ten, because Benjamin came out against them. Verse 18, "Now the sons of Israel rose, went up to Bethel, and inquired of God, and said, 'Who shall go up first for us to battle against the sons of Benjamin?' The Lord said, 'Judah shall go up first.' Sons of Israel rose in the morning and camped against Gibeah. Men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel arrayed for battle against them at Gibeah. Sons of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and fell to the ground on that day, 22,000 men of Israel. But the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and arrayed for battle again, the place where they had arrayed themselves the first day. Sons of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall we again draw near for battle against the sons of my brother Benjamin?' And the Lord said, 'Go up against him.' Sons of Israel came against the sons of Benjamin the second day. Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah the second day and fell to the ground again. 18,000 men of the sons of Israel, all these drew the sword. All the sons of Israel and all the people went up and came to Bethel and wept. Thus they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, Aaron's son, stood before to minister in those days, saying, 'Shall I yet again go out to battle against the sons of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease?' The Lord said, 'Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand.' So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah. Sons of Israel went up against the sons of Benjamin on the third day and arrayed themselves against Gibeah, as at other times. Sons of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike and kill some of the people, as at other times, on highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other Gibeah, and in the field about 30 men of Israel. Sons of Benjamin said, 'They are struck down before us as at the first.' But the son of Israel said, 'Let us flee, that we may draw them away from the city on the highways.' All the men of Israel rose from their place and arrayed themselves at Baal Tamar. The men of Israel in ambush broke out of their place, even out of Marah Gebeah. When 10,000 choice men from all Israel came against Gibeah, the battle became fierce, but Benjamin did not know that disaster was close to them. The Lord struck Benjamin before Israel, said, 'The sons of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day, all who draw the sword.' So the sons of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. When the men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah, the men in ambush hurried and rushed against Gibeah. The men in ambush also deployed and struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now they appointed a sign between the men of Israel and the men in ambush that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise from the city. The men of Israel turned in the battle, and Benjamin began to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, "Surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle." When the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, Benjamin looked behind them, and behold, the whole city was going up in smoke to heaven. The men of Israel turned, and the men of Benjamin were terrified, for they saw that disaster was close to them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel toward the direction of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, while those who came out of the cities destroyed them in the midst of them. They surrounded Benjamin, pursued them without rest, and trod them down opposite Gibeah toward the east. Thus 18,000 men of Benjamin fell. All these were valiant warriors. The rest turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, but they caught 5,000 of them on the highway and overtook them at Gidom and killed 2,000 of them. So all of Benjamin who fell that day were 25,000 men who draw the sword. All these were valiant warriors. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. They remained at the rock of Rimmon 4 months. The men of Israel then turned back against the son of Benjamin and struck them with the edge of the sword, both the entire city with the cattle and all that they found. They also set on fire all the cities which they found. So it was a terrible rout of Benjamin. It was a terrible disaster. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "None of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin in marriage." So people came to Bethel and sat there before God until evening and lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. They said, "Why, O Lord God of Israel, has this come about in Israel, so that one tribe should be missing today in Israel?" See, there was a problem here. They made this oath saying that none of them would give their daughters to Benjamin in marriage. And so Benjamin was devastated. So how is Benjamin going to get repopulated? Came about the next day that the people arose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The sons of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up in the assembly to the Lord?" For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." The sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah? Behold, no one had come up to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. And when the people were numbered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead were there." And the congregation sent 12,000 of the valiant warriors there and commanded them, saying, "Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the little ones. This is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every man and every woman who has lain with a man." Found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, because remember that was the bargain, that any tribe that didn't come up to their conclave would be put to death. They found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. They brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. The whole congregation sent word and spoke to the sons of Benjamin, who are at the rock of Rimmon, proclaimed peace to them. Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the women, whom they had kept alive from the women of Jabesh Gilead, that they were not enough for them. So basically all of Benjamin was wiped out, except for these 600 men at the rock of Rimmon to rebuild the tribe. And they only found 400 women for 600 men. Verse 15. And the people were sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. And the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives of those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" They said, "There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, so that a tribe will not be blotted out from Israel. But we cannot give them wives of our daughters." For the sons of Israel had sworn, saying, "Cursed is he who gives a wife to Benjamin." Key word there is gives. So then, behold, there is a feast of the Lord from year to year in Shiloh, which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway, goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebonah. They commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, "Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and watch, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to take part in the dances, you shall come out of the vineyards, and each of you shall catch his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin." shall come about when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, that we shall say to them, give them to us voluntarily, because we do not take for each man of Benjamin a wife in battle. Nor did we give them to you, else you would now be guilty. Nor did you give them to them, or you, else you would be guilty. So in other words, the men of Shiloh would not have given their daughters to Benjamin. They would have been taken from them to give to Benjamin. Sons of Benjamin did so and took wives according to their number from those who danced, whom they carried away, and they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the cities and lived in them. Sons of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and each one of them went out from there to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, which is not a compliment. It was not something that was said that was approving of anything they did. Everyone doing what was right in their own eyes usually winds up to be a disaster, as it was in this case. This seems to have happened relatively early in the history of Israel, because it said that Phinehas was still a priest in those days. So it didn't take them long to fall into the ways of the land in which they dwelled, and they never really recovered and came to serve the Lord. So it was all just a colossal mess the entire time. God had a plan to have an eventual king in Israel, but that plan was kind of short-circuited. It tended to happen very quickly. After the book of Judges, we see the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, which kind of takes up the story, and we see how God raised up a righteous judge, and after that a king. Well, the king wasn't all that righteous, but then after that came the King David, who was, in a sense, a type, a figure of the true and righteous king who was going to come, namely Yeshua. So lots of things that went wrong here. It was horrible, 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 from the very beginning to the very end. Not only this man and his concubine, but the fact that they would take these women as wives against their will, that they would get other wives by killing everybody in the village in which they belonged. It was a bloodthirsty, nasty mess. And it just shows you what mankind is capable of. We're not talking about unwashed pagans here who had never known the Lord. We're talking about the children and grandchildren of people who had come into the land, had seen God tear down the walls of Jericho and part the waters of the Jordan River. These are people who had heard the accounts earlier than that of all the great miracles that God had done in getting them out of Egypt. It was an account that was told to them not by their distant ancestors, but by their grandparents who sat at the knees of the people who actually experienced an exodus from Egypt. And yet, left to their own devices, they could sink so low that they were indistinguishable from the people of Sodom. And that's a great warning to us, that we need to carefully keep the commandments of God and not let them loose, not decide that we're just going to relax and enjoy ourselves and do whatever the people of the nation around us do, because the easy path leads downward. It's the difficult path that leads upward. And if you take the easy path, then eventually you wind up in just as much depravity as these people actually did. Let's pray. Dearest God and Father, please grant us the courage and the strength to guard your righteousness and your holiness and your commandments, so that we would not have our nation or our world wind up in the same depravity that overtook these people, but instead we might delight in your righteousness, we might yearn for your presence, that we might desire not to please ourselves, but rather do everything possible to please you and live in accordance with your expectations. to your vision for us, for whom that we will become in the power of your Spirit, with the wisdom of your word, by the redemption that we have in Yeshua. Amen.